3 days. 3 days changed everything. 3 days allowed us to see that anything was possible. But it all started with Friday. And Friday was the worst day. Friday was a sad, defeated, question-riddled, brutal day. It was the day that Jesus died, while his friends and his family, his followers and his critics watched. And this is what we read happened. At this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. This idea that the Son of God, the Messiah, would take a last breath, that we would read, he breathed his last. We all thought, they all thought, that's impossible. It's impossible that he could die. It's impossible that he could fail. As everyone stood at the foot of the cross, they all looked and some said, "Our friend has breathed his last. The one we've been on countless adventures with, the one that we sat under the stars and slept around a campfire with, the one we watched do miracle after miracle, and he invited us to come along," which made some of them go, "Our Savior has breathed his last. The one who was supposed to fix it, to save us, to make it better, is gone. It's over." They would say, "Our king has breathed his last. Our leader, our shepherd, the one who would care for us and guide us, the one who would usher in a kingdom that was unlike any kingdom to that point in history. He failed." Which left them all feeling that our hope has breathed his last. Our ability to believe that tomorrow will be better than today, our ability to believe that the best is yet to come, has left us saying things like, "The best is not to come." And it was real. And for everyone that was there, it was permanent. After Jesus died, we read, "Then Joseph, the one from Arimathea, took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon as the Sabbath was about to begin. His body was taken away, and the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body, as was the tradition. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law." That would have been the longest Saturday of any Saturday. "And while they rested, they wrestled, they struggled, they questioned. Questioned, had they put their hope in the wrong one? Had they chosen the wrong teacher? Were they wrong about who the Messiah was? Certainly they thought, our hope let us down. We gave up our families, our livelihoods, our comfort zones, and our plans to follow him. We put our hope in him, and he's dead. Now, you and I, we live on the other end of the story. We get to know that Friday wasn't the end. It was the beginning. We get to believe and bank on that Jesus is a firm foundation for us to build our hope on. He's a firm foundation for us to rely on and to give our lives to, but only because we know Sunday came. We get to sing, we get to believe, we get to know that when it comes to failure, he won't. Let's pray. Jesus, there's no imagining really the heartache, the hopelessness that everyone felt that day. There's no way for me or us to really get our minds around what it would have been like to watch you take your last breath. We probably would have been like everybody else, feeling like the very core of us was shaken, and that the rest of life was now unsettled, and there were no answers for tomorrow. We are grateful that we didn't stay on Friday and we don't have to live in Friday today, because you don't fail. You didn't fail, and you won't now. Amen. Difference. 3 days can change everything. What happened on those 3 days 2,000 years ago ripples into our day today too. And we get to live on this side. We get to live on Sunday instead of Friday. Our hope in just 3 days was restored. Here's what's so fascinating about hope, if you ask me. It's something that we all want and that we all need. It's something we need in order to get through our day, get through our week, year after year. But hope exists on a timeline. And hope is a set of expectations that we place on this timeline. And the longer our expectations go unmet, the more time that passes, the smaller our hope gets. It shrinks. It becomes less. Because if it hasn't happened yet, it's probably not going to happen. If I haven't felt it yet, it's probably not going to be something I feel. Enough time goes by, we can be left feeling hopeless instead of hopeful. So imagine Friday night, how hopeless. And then it gets to Saturday. And if anybody thought maybe, just maybe, there would be a comeback, Saturday buried those hopes because there wasn't one. 24 hours has passed. He's dead. And their hope shrunk even more, to the point where his friends and his followers would lock themselves in rooms because they were afraid that the authorities of the day would come to find them and try them as criminals. Hope seemed to die with Jesus. That's what's so funny, though, about hope. We can lose it quickly, right? But we can get it back quickly, too. Hope exists in a series of moments, really. Moment by moment, we might feel hopeful or hopeless. When we're young and we're looking at our whole lives in front of us, we're very hopeful about who we'll marry and how much money we'll have and the dream job we'll have and the cool house and the great car. But then time goes by and you start to realize, maybe not. An unexpected thing pops up, like a divorce or a job loss or an illness or a death. And in that moment, your hopes are dashed. Your hopes shrink. But what if something else comes along that you didn't expect either? And it's good. It's amazing how in an instant you can have hope again. It's like game on. A raise comes that you didn't expect. An opportunity comes that you didn't expect. A relationship comes that you didn't expect. And immediately in that moment, hope is restored. So while Friday was a crushing day, and it was full of defeat, and it was full of disappointment, and full of questions, and Saturday may have been a day of deafening silence where everybody wondered, has God abandoned us? Jesus says, hold on. I got a Sunday moment coming. And on that Sunday moment, the stone is rolled away from the tomb and a dead man walks out alive. And if Friday made everybody go, the impossible is possible, the Messiah has been killed, Sunday reminded them of a different kind of impossible that was possible. Restoration, redemption, resurrection, hope again. There's this moment where the women who had wanted to prepare Jesus' lifeless body, by the way, to stay in the tomb forever, that's what they were preparing when the Sabbath day came up. They didn't expect that he was coming out. You know, nobody was standing at that stone in front of the tomb going, any minute now. They all thought it was done and that it was permanent. But it's finally Sunday morning, so they can go to the tomb. And what's amazing to think about is they had watched the stone get rolled in front of it, and now as they walk up, they realize that the stone has been moved again. And what they realize is that sitting on top of the tomb is something most of them had never seen before, an angel. And in this moment, I think this angel had the biggest smile on his face. That song we sang said that the angels stood in awe the day that Jesus came back. So what an opportunity, what a job. He got picked to be the one to tell the first humans that he's not dead anymore, that he is fully alive. In fact, this is what this angel says to these women. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. I love this angel because he ends this with like, you don't believe me. Go in there and look for yourself. There's nobody in there. There is no body in there. But maybe the best thing and the most powerful thing that he says is that he has come back from the dead. He is resurrected. He is risen just like he said he would. Now, I say this every Easter, so if you're sick of hearing it, sorry. If you can predict your own death and predict your own resurrection and then pull it off to the letter, I go with whatever you say. I go wherever you go. I do whatever you do because you have done the impossible just like you said you would. Now, here's why that's so important. If he said that and he came through on it, then I can rest assured that he will come through on so many other things that he said. In fact, everything else that he said. And everything else he said applies to my every single day, to the very core of who I am. Not just on Easter, but on Monday and July and November and every day of my life. Because Jesus said things like, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to find it. I don't have to deserve it. I'm forgiven. The weight of my mistakes and my mess ups and my missing the mark and all of that stuff, the weight of that has been lifted. And the reason I believe that is because he said he was going to die and he said he was going to come back and he did. He also said, by the way, that I'm loved. Of all of the needs a human has, that might be the greatest. And we'll spend every day, all day, sometimes wondering if we are. We wonder if people notice whether we're there or not. We wonder if people want to be in the room with us. We wonder if there's somebody out there that thinks we're amazing. And Jesus says, I do. I love you more than you can imagine. And I trust him when he says it. Because he said impossible things once and came through on them, making them possible. He also said, by the way, that I'm not alone. He told his followers that he would be with them, and subsequently you and I as his followers, if you are one, that he would be with us until the end. Which means no matter what challenge I face, he's with me. Whatever heartache I have to deal with, he deals with me. Whatever unknown I have to step into, he steps with me. That I'm never alone. I want to pause here because for some of you, everything I've said up until this point seems like total craziness. And I get it. I really do. In fact, my guess is several of you are here because your mother or grandmother said you couldn't come to Easter dinner unless you went to church first. We're glad to be of service. But I'm actually really glad you're here, even if you think I'm crazy. Because like I said, I understand that it sounds nuts. But I'm going to make a bold guess. That some of us are keeping this Jesus thing at arm's length and we're keeping our distance from it. We're protecting ourselves and backing away and not wanting to have a whole lot to do with it. Not necessarily because we think the idea of Jesus and a resurrection are completely impossible. but because it has been so long since we've felt hopeful. So when we're invited to put our hope in something, we go, my hope has let me down time and time and time again. From the time we were like high school kids or college kids, and we had our whole life out in front of us, and we're coming up with those plans about what it could be, and then life started beating us up. For some of us, it's been decades of just getting our hope stomped on. And we turn on the news, and the world is broken, and our relationships are broken, and it seems like all we want to do is argue about the brokenness, and it's ugly, and it's, why would I have hope? It hasn't gotten better one day after the next. So if hope is the idea that tomorrow could be better, there's a little bit of yeah, right in us. I mean, just look at this. 2,000 plus years since Jesus. The world's not all that better. It's a long time to be waiting. It's a long time to be wondering, did it actually happen? Is it actually true? But just like I imagine God saying on Saturday to all of the people that were alive in the first century, I just imagine God going, hold on. Because Jesus also said, I'm not done. A whole lot can happen in 3 days. A whole lot can happen in 3 years. A whole lot can happen in 3 decades or 3 centuries. In fact, how much more could happen? You see, Saturday was not like God took the day off or God went dark or turned the light off. And he certainly has not done that in your life either. Something's happening. Something's coming. Because Jesus said, I'm not done. In fact, Jesus implies that the resurrection wasn't the end of the story either, that it was just the beginning, that there would be more. And the reason I believe that is because he predicted his own death, his own resurrection, and came through. You see, my hope's not built on something that could happen. My hope is built on something that did. And that changes the dynamics completely. It changes who I am. It changes how I move through every single day, whether that day is filled with blessing and celebration or heartache and frustration. Just like it did for all of Jesus' followers in the first century. You have to understand that when Jesus died, like I said, nobody was at the tomb counting down. Nobody believed there would be a comeback. They all thought it was over. And so on Sunday morning, when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, and if you're not familiar with that language because you didn't grow up in church, that's the most ridiculous name that we gave kids' church back in the day because every kid wants to go back to school. But I grew up going to Sunday school on the weekends, and they would tell us this story every Easter, and in my head, I always imagined these women like skipping their way to the tomb because it's Sunday and it's Easter. They didn't know it was Easter. They didn't know that anything had happened. They were expecting to go see a dead body and embalm that body to stay in the tomb for the rest of time. Except they walk up, they see the open tomb, and they see this angel, and he tells them that Jesus is risen. They look in the tomb, there's no body. And then the angel says, you better run on and get the fellas because we're going to Galilee. That's where Jesus is going to meet you. And listen to how the women leave the tomb versus how they probably walked to the tomb. It says that they ran quickly. Their total physical behavior has changed. They were very frightened but filled with great joy, which is the perfect definition of hope. Joy and fear. Because there's always this part of us that goes, well, maybe tomorrow. Like Annie said, the sun will come up tomorrow. But what if it doesn't? That's hope. There's always that streak of doubt. There's always that streak of fear in it. It's really this tension that we manage all of the time. And by the way, if you've ever wondered, why does somebody like me put so much stock in the Bible and in the scriptures is because they left in the bad parts. If you were making up a story, would you leave in that they were afraid even after the resurrection? No, if I was writing that story, I'd be like, and they all lived happily ever after and never questioned anything ever again. And it says, no, they were joy-filled, but they were also fearful. But make no mistake, they were hopeful like they had never been before. Because now the scared disciples that were locked in a room are running out into the streets and they're shouting from the rooftops, Jesus was exactly who he said he was. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He really is the Messiah. He really is the Savior. And he really is our friend. They were not afraid to be hopeful again. And in a moment, they had it once more. The cross moment, they lost it. The resurrection moment, they found it. And they would spend the rest of their lives preaching, teaching, sharing this simple truth. Our hope didn't let us down. It wasn't the story we thought. It wasn't the timeline we wanted. There were moments where it was scary and we were unsure, but at the end, our hope did not let us down. Our King came through. And so we, fast forward to the 21st century, we get to look back on all 3 days together instead of having to live through each one of them at a time. And we can stand with hope, knowing that our hope won't let us down. And we know that it won't let us down because it didn't let us down. Again, our hope's not built on what could be. Our hope's built on what is, what did happen. So I don't know how old you are. You might be 15, you might be 35, 65, 95, but I'm guessing something about your life, that a lot of it has been your hope shrinking, your hope getting built up, beat up, and getting to this place of like just surviving and just being hope, maybe, if not hope less. And you would be tempted, as we're talking about this, you might be tempted to think, well, I need like 13 more Easters to get it built back up. I mean, as long as I've been alive, I need that amount of time to get it back. Like if I've been losing hope for 20 years, I need 20 years to build it back. But if the resurrection teaches us that hope exists in moments, then you don't need a lot of time to find hope. Just one moment. And this is it. Easter is it. It's the moment. Your 401k, your salary, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your brothers, your sisters, they may let you down. But he won't. Because he didn't. And you can have hope again in this moment because that moment happened. And it doesn't take a long series of them because it didn't take the disciples and it didn't take the women that had gone back to the tomb to build up hope again. They just had it because it happened. And so I want to do something that in this moment you may hate me for, but I'm going to trust that in the subsequent moments you'll thank me. Because I want to ruin something that you do about 45 times a day. Because 45 times a day, you send a text message. And my guess is when you do, you sit like I do, staring at the screen, waiting for these little babies to pop up. Because as soon as you see them, you know that something's coming. You know that you can anticipate a reply. You can anticipate an emoji. You can anticipate something coming back your way. It's a great little tiny picture of hope. And isn't it kind of fun that there's three circles all the time that could maybe remind you of 3 days and to maybe just hold on, to maybe just anticipate what Jesus is going to do in your life. Not because you're hoping for a possible thing, but because you're standing on a definite one that actually happened, that there were eyewitnesses for. And in that small moment, while you wait, you find hope again. You don't need a lot of time to find hope. Just one moment. And Jesus gave it for all of us on this day, several thousand years ago. Which means maybe you need just one name. Because of the millions of names that were crucified on a Roman cross, only one came back. And of the billions of people, the billions of names that have died, only one came back. Because only one can make dead things alive again. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for shocking the world. Thank you for jarring your followers loose from their hopelessness, from their defeat, from their loss. Thank you for doing the same for us so that we can live every day knowing that our King is alive, knowing that our King is doing good things, knowing that as His followers, a lot of dead things can come alive again, including our hope. So we'll spend this day and every day celebrating the one name that literally changed everything.